Okay, so how does a text, I mean, a book so obviously filled with hate become this kind of blueprint for, well, for genocide? And maybe more importantly, what lessons, what warnings does it hold for us today? Today, we're going to undertake a deep dive into something really challenging, quite disturbing, actually, but, historically vital to understand, Adolf Hitler's infamous book, Mein Kampf. Now, the sources we're using for this deep dive, they're not your usual book summaries trying to pull out positive life lessons or anything like that. Not at all. Instead, what we have is critical analysis, historical context, and crucially, explicit warnings about even engaging with a text like this. So our goal here isn't finding lessons from it in that sense, but really understanding its dangerous content, its impact, and the vital cautionary lessons it offers.
Yeah, and what's really striking right from the start in our source material is how it tells us how to approach this. It makes it clear this isn't just, another nonfiction book. It's a foundational text for an ideology of pure hatred. And understanding that difference, that distinction, is just paramount if we want to grasp its significance without accidentally giving it some kind of legitimacy it doesn't deserve.
So why is this so different then from other things we've looked at? Our sources are really clear that just doing a standard summary is, well, problematic. What are these warnings actually telling us?
Well, the sources really emphasize that Mein Kampf isn't conventional. It's this mix of autobiography and manifesto, absolutely packed with extreme anti-Semitism, racist theories, and quite literally a plan for genocide and ethnic cleansing. So, to treat it like some kind of neutral educational text that assumes a value it just doesn't have, it risks normalizing these incredibly dangerous ideas.
Right. And the sources even point out something like, you know how we sometimes look for real-life applications? Imagine trying to do that with Nazi ideology. It would be, well, profoundly harmful, doesn't even cover it. So this deep dive, it really is about understanding what we need to resist, not finding something to adopt. Our sources strongly push towards academic histories of Nazi Germany, the Holocaust, scholarly critiques, and resources from places like the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, places that really contextualize and critique the ideology rather than just, summarizing it like it's any other topic.
Precisely. That
Cool.
approach gives us the historical understanding we need, but it keeps that essential critical distance. So
Yeah.
for us here, it means we're distilling why this book came about,
Sure.
what it actually said, and what its terrifying consequences were, all through this lens of extreme caution.
Okay, so to really get a handle on the book, maybe we should briefly touch on the author himself. Not obviously to glorify him, but just to understand the context, the man behind these ideas.
Right. Adolf Hitler, born 1889, died 1945. He was, of course, the leader of the Nazi Party, Chancellor of Germany from 33, and then the Führer of Nazi Germany. He wrote the first volume of Mein Kampf in 1925, the second in 26, and he wrote it while he was imprisoned in Landsberg prison. That was after the failed beer hall push in 1923, his attempt to violently overthrow the Bavarian government, which failed, but it did give him a national platform.
And he didn't have any like formal credentials, did he, as a political thinker or historian? His whole expertise was just self-proclaimed, wasn't it? Based on his own life and grudges.
That's absolutely key.
Yeah.
His claims of deep insight came from, well, his time as a struggling artist in Vienna, feeling impoverished, his experiences as a corporal in World War I, and then his work as a political agitator in Munich after the war. Mein Kampf isn't analyzing something that already existed. It's the book that defines the Nazi movement. It's a direct and frankly chilling window into his mind, and it really did serve as a blueprint for what he did later.
Which brings us right to the book itself, this disturbing vision. What kind of book is Mein Kampf, really? What's its core message?
Well, it's kind of a sprawling, often rambling mix of things. It's part autobiography, part political manifesto, and part strategic handbook for the Nazi Party, which was still pretty small then. Its main goal was to diagnose what he saw as the problems of Germany and the world after World War I, identify who he thought was responsible, and then lay out this detailed plan for, as he put it, national and racial salvation.
And that central argument is just, it's horrifying. He's basically saying humanity is locked in this endless race war with the so-called Aryan race as the superior creators and Jewish people as this like parasitic threat to everything.
Precisely. He argues Germany's destiny is to regain its greatness after the humiliation of World War I. How? By creating a racially pure state ruled by one absolute leader, the Führer. And this new Germany, he claimed, must expand eastward. It needed to conquer Lebensraum, living space, mainly by taking it from Slavic nations and what he called Jewish Bolshevik Russia. He kind of terrifyingly merged his anti-Semitism with anti-communism there. So yeah, it offered this radical, violent, totalitarian solution. And it was all built on racial supremacy and anti-Semitism.
And he uses his own life story as the proof for all this, doesn't he? Being rejected from art school, his time in Vienna seeing different ethnicities, his shock at Germany losing the war. He presents all these personal things as the events that forged his hatred, like his radicalization was some kind of inevitable awakening to this awful truth he believed he'd discovered.
Exactly. He frames it all as evidence for his worldview.
Okay, let's try to break down the core, really insidious ideas in this text, the ones that led to such unimaginable horror. What are the key messages Mein Kampf was trying to hammer home?
Yeah, we could probably pull out about six crucial themes. Together, they form this terrifying worldview. First, and maybe most fundamental, is racial purity and the Aryan master race, this belief in a hierarchy of races, with the Aryan race at the very top. He presents them as the only source of real culture. And preserving that race's purity, that's the state's highest job.
And that obsession with purity means you have to define an other.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Which leads straight to the second theme, radical anti-Semitism as a worldview. And this isn't just, you know, prejudice like we might normally think of it. For Hitler, it's the organizing principle of the whole book. He cooks up this massive global Jewish conspiracy theory, blames Jews for literally everything he hates, Marxism, international finance, democracy, modern art, Germany losing the war, you name it. And he presents Jewish people not just as inferior, but as an anti-race, like an inherently destructive force whose very existence is a threat to everyone else, especially Aryans.
That idea of an anti-race is particularly sinister, isn't it? It goes beyond just dislike into seeing them as an existential threat that needs, well, drastic action. Then there's his approach to propaganda. Incredibly cynical, but, you know, history shows it worked.
That's the third theme, the power of propaganda and mass manipulation. Hitler had this deeply cynical view of ordinary people, the masses. He basically saw them as irrational, emotional, only responsive to simple messages. So he argued propaganda shouldn't even try to be objective. It should pick a few simple slogans, repeat them endlessly, aim straight for the emotions, fear, anger, and create a really clear us versus them fan enemy picture. This is where we get the infamous concept of the big lie.
Just keep repeating a huge lie and people will eventually believe it.
Essentially, yes. Then fourth is the Lebensraum, living space, and aggressive foreign policy. The book is very clear about needing military conquest. Germany needed more land, more resources, he claimed. And the only way to get it was by force in Eastern Europe, taking it from Russia and its neighbors. And again, he ties this into a crusade against Jewish Bolshevism.
Which obviously required throwing democracy out the window.
Absolutely. That's number five. The Führerprinzip, leader principle, and contempt for democracy. Hitler just despised parliamentary democracy. He saw it as weak, indecisive, corrupt. Instead, he pushed for the Führerprinzip, this system of absolute authority, all flowing up to one infallible, charismatic leader whose word is law.
No checks, no balances, just one leader.
None. And finally, the sixth theme ties back to the war, the stab in the back myth and the glorification of struggle. The book hammers relentlessly on the idea that Germany didn't actually lose World War I fairly. It was betrayed from within by Jews and Marxists. But more broadly, it just glorifies struggle itself. Social struggle, political struggle, war. He presents it as the fundamental law of nature, something necessary for racial health and national greatness.
So the book doesn't really have characters like a novel, but it creates these really powerful, dangerous archetypes, doesn't it? These rigid ideas of good and evil to justify everything. How does it paint these groups?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It paints this idealized picture of the Aryan, you know, creative, noble, self-sacrificing, born to rule. But the main villain, the absolute antagonist, is the Jew. And it's not a picture of actual Jewish people. It's this monstrous caricature, conspiratorial, parasitic, poisoning the race, basically the embodiment of all evil. That's really crucial. It's a dehumanizing construct, not a description. And then you have the masses. Hitler doesn't see them as individuals. They're just this collective blob to be manipulated, driven by pure emotion, and deep down wanting to be dominated by a strong leader.
And the language itself is just, it's a weapon, isn't it? What do the actual words in the book tell us about what he intended?
Oh, absolutely. Take this quote, for instance. It's pretty horrific. Was there any form of filth or profligacy, particularly in cultural life, without at least one Jew involved in it? If you cut even cautiously into such an abscess, you found, like a maggot in a rotting body, often dazzled by the sudden light of kike, I mean, it's brutal. It directly links Jewish people to everything he sees as decay, filth, profligacy, cultural decline. And look at the words abscess, maggot, rotting body. It's the language of disease, of vermin. It frames the Jewish question, as he called it, not as a political problem, but as a public health crisis that needs, well, eradication.
Mm-hmm.
The words themselves are designed to dehumanize and incite disgust and violence.
Wow. And state itself gets completely redefined too, doesn't it? Its whole purpose changes. It's not about the citizens anymore.
Not in any traditional sense, no. There's another really key quote. The state is a means to an end. Its end lies in the preservation and advancement of a community of physically and psychically homogeneous creatures. States which do not serve this purpose are misbegotten, monstrosities, in fact. I mean, that just throws out any liberal or democratic idea of what government is for. For Hitler, the only valid reason for a state to exist is to serve this racial agenda, preserving and promoting one pure race. Everything else is secondary or just plain wrong. It shows you the totalizing vision right there.
So wrapping this up, what does it all mean for us now? Our sources are really clear. Mein Kampf has zero positive, applicable insights for building a decent society. Its ideas are blueprints for tyranny, war, genocide, full stop. But studying it carefully does offer some critical, cautionary lessons. What can we learn defensively from understanding a text like this?
Right. The only application here is about inoculation, really. Understanding the anatomy of hatred so we can recognize and fight it. Our sources point to a few key defensive lessons. First, recognizing modern propaganda techniques. The book is practically a manual for it. We can learn to spot things like the big lie, these huge, bold falsehoods just repeated over and over, scapegoating, blaming complex issues on one vilified group, emotional manipulation hitting fear and anger instead of reason, and radical simplification boiling everything down to black and white. The insight isn't just knowing the terms, it's seeing how Hitler made them work by tapping into real fears and resentments.
So it's like learning the opponent's playbook to defend against it, not to use it yourself.
Exactly. Second, really, understanding the dangers of dehumanization. Mein Kampf shows step by step how language can strip a group of its humanity. Calling Jews parasites, vermin, disease, it made it psychologically easier for people to accept and then later do terrible things. It's a stark lesson how powerful words are and why we absolutely have to challenge dehumanizing language whenever we see it.
It's also a pretty sobering reminder of how fragile democracy can be, isn't it?
Which is the third lesson, appreciating the fragility of democracy. The book chillingly shows how democratic systems can be torn down from the inside. It demonstrates that when times are tough, economic crisis, national humiliation, deep political division, people can become vulnerable. They might turn to authoritarian figures who promise simple solutions and order, even if it means giving up freedom. It's a powerful reminder that we need to actively defend democratic norms and institutions.
And finally, there's something about the power of a story, right? Even a completely twisted one.
Precisely. The fourth lesson is about the power of a coherent, all-encompassing narrative. Hitler's ideology, even though it was built on lies, it offered this powerful, simple story. It had a clear villain, the Jew, a clear hero, the Aryan, and a promised utopian future, the racially pure Reich. It teaches us that just pointing out the lies isn't always enough. To counter hateful ideologies effectively, we often need to offer a more compelling, positive, and truly inclusive vision for the future.
So this deep dive, it really reveals Mein Kampf for what it was, a terrifyingly open declaration of intent. It wasn't some complex philosophy for debate. It was a practical manual for seizing power and achieving these goals of racial purification and conquest. And the world, by and large, just dismissed it as the rantings of some fringe lunatic, which turned out to be a fatal mistake. It really highlights the danger of underestimating radical ideas, especially when they connect with people's deepest fears and resentments.
Indeed. The unique, though grim, value of Mein Kampf today is as a historical artifact and a stark warning. It's a case study in how hatred works, a testament to where unchecked political ambition fueled by ideology can lead. And it's a solemn reminder that the kinds of ideas in its pages, no matter what form they take, have to be confronted and rejected always, wherever they pop up.
Which leaves us with a pretty important question, I think. In a world still wrestling with information overload, with polarization, with the appeal of easy answers, how vigilant do we actually need to be? How carefully do we need to examine the stories we're told, challenge that dehumanizing language, and really stand up for the principles of an inclusive democratic society?